eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Umbody. Shea Dixon is along in a second, but we've got a lot to get to today. LSU is allegedly going to open fall camp on Monday and get the official start to practice underway, as they're just over a month away to playing their first college football game of the year, September 26th. And look, we've got a lot to get to. We want to break down fall camp and a lot of our burning questions for this team, the position battles we're watching, who could emerge for the Tigers as they get ready to defend their national championship. And however that goes, we'll see. But look, there's a lot to get to, and this is honestly one of the fun times of the year, even with all the uncertainty. The start of college football season and these position battles. And Che, I think I want to start with offense, because how do you try to replicate what they did last year? It's just probably impossible, but they do have to rebuild some of this offense. And number one, I think you have to start at the offensive line, because Miles Brennan's been around. He's been around for a while. He's been watching. Everybody knows that a lot of this is on his shoulders. But you've also got to replace four of the five starters on the offensive line. And they do have some experience to do that. But I think that's probably the X factor outside of Miles Brennan for this offense.
Oh, 1,000,000%. And mine, it's so tied into Miles Brennan as well. And look, I think we know this. James Craig is the O-line coach now. And he's proven himself in my mind. And we're talking about guys who won a Super Bowl and now a national championship as a coach. But that first year he was here, he had like in the first five or six games had like five or had a different O-line combo every game. And that was dealing with guys who were banged up or guys who were serving like a one game suspension or whatever it might be. And he made do, and they won double digit games. And then last year, for them to win the Joe Moore Award without an offensive lineman who was a first or a second round draft pick, I believe DeLu and Cush were both third rounders. But point being, this was and I guess Sadiq Charles got drafted pretty high, but it wasn't like they had a couple of you know, no doubt first round guys that sort of made everything go. And it was really beyond Joe Burrow bailing them out of some tough spots. It was a great showing for the offensive line, and they took home the Joe Moore Award as the best in college football. I guess my point in saying it is that yes, they lost all those offensive linemen. Really, the only starter they bring back is Deculus. Now, I think the silver lining here, beyond knowing that they've got Craig, a coach who has had to work with a whole lot of different pieces in year one and found stability in year two and now has to replace some guys in year three, I think, A, the silver lining is that he has a good feel for who the starting five is. B, that starting five, while yes, four of them are quote-unquote new starters, almost all of them have been starters in college football before. And Dare Rosenthal, their left tackle, started in three or four games last year when Sadiq Charles was serving time for a violation of team rules and missing games. So he's played against some elite competition, and he'll be protecting Brennan's blind side. Then you've got at both guard spots, Ed Ingram and what we presume now will be Chase and Hines. Both those guys have starts. Hines was playing against Georgia as a starter as a freshman. Ingram was a full-time starter as a freshman, missed a year, and then came back last year. And as soon as he got back, he was playing in every game, and had Adrian McGee not stepped up in the way he did, Ingram would have been a full-time starter. So just with your two guards and your new tackle, you've got guys that have played. And then your center, who I think is really the storyline of the offseason, is they go to Harvard, they get a grad transfer in Liam Shanahan. He's not some, you know, guy that, he's not a Jabril Cox. I mean, Jabril Cox was thought of by some as a top 100 NFL draft prospect. He left North Dakota State to come to LSU as a linebacker because his eligibility was up there. He had one final year of eligibility in college. He wanted to use it on an even bigger stage, and he had won multiple national championships. He passed up a chance at the NFL draft. For Liam Shanahan, after Harvard, that was going to be it. And he said, look, I want to play another year of ball. I could maybe get to the pros. I can at least get some looks, but I need to go to somewhere like LSU. And he did. And now, just this week on T-Bob and Jordy's show on ESPN 104.5 here in town, Billy, he was saying, Orgeron was saying, Shanahan is like a breath of fresh air. And I'll paraphrase, but basically said with how smart he is and his ability to make all the calls and the checks, it gives them a really good feeling that they found a fifth offensive lineman to be a starter, but B, that connection between he and Miles Brennan, or at least that comfortable feeling that certainly Burrow had with Cushenberry, who is very smart and is now going to be most likely starting for the Broncos as a rookie center in the NFL. A center can mean so much to you as a quarterback, and it seems that they have some faith right now in Shanahan after spending a few months around him that, hey, look, this kid's got it upstairs. He can do it. And now they put him onto at least the practice field and walkthroughs and maybe more importantly, the weight room. And probably in a few months have reshaped his body a bit to where how they're talking about him now is way more confident than how they talked about him when they signed him.
Yeah, and I think you covered it very, very well. I think one player for me that I'm really excited to see in what I think is his natural position is Chason Hines. And he really emerged that as a true freshman, you know, stepping in at Auburn, stepping in against Georgia and holding his own. He's a strong East Texas kid. And really there was some thought that, you know, he could be that center position as well. But instead it looks like he's going to end up being that right guard spot, and it makes sense. And as much as Anthony Bradford was talked up in this offseason and Cardell Thomas is recovering from his injury and working his way back and seems to be looking good according to Ed Orgeron, it makes sense for Chason Hines to step in at that right guard spot. And he's a junior. He could play that spot, and he's been around and he's played in some really big games and on some big stages. And I think Liam Shanahan's played a lot of college football, but with a first-year starter at center, having that gap or having that bridge between Liam Shanahan to Austin to Chason Hines to Austin Deculus will really help this offensive line. And then on the other side of things, Dare Rosenthal played a lot at left tackle. It was Sadiq Charles dealing with his issues. And then Ed Ingram at left guard, he played a ton as a true freshman. And of course, like we know, you know, dealt with his issues and then returned to play some last year. This offensive line, I don't think is as inexperienced, or I wouldn't say a concern, because I think with so many new starters, it's a concern kind of like it was last year, in the sense that people didn't know what they would be getting from the offensive line that, let's face it, they had to max protect in Joe Burrow's first year as a starter, and they really couldn't open it up until late in the season when they felt like they had gotten through the teeth of the season. This year, they do have that experience to kind of lean on. Now it's about meshing and coming together, because you do have four new guys and five guys overall that really haven't played a ton of football together in whatever lineup they're going to be in.
Yeah, I think then fall camp, right, becomes all the more important. And all these times, even these walkthrough periods, which I think Orgeron calls it like football school, but stuff they do right now, long before you're in pads and really when you're playing this waiting game on when does fall camp begin, I think that's big, because you can at least put the offensive linemen together and at least start to work on their steps and everything else that comes with all the calls. And I think that ultimately, even with a delayed season, that's just going to help them out more. Moving to September 26 gives them an extra month to sort of get acclimated. And look, we'll have spent the most time talking O-line, because that's the biggest question mark for LSU. And I think people will chuckle at that, saying, well, they lost Joe Burrow and all these other things. But one thing they didn't lose any of the first round draft pick, number 32, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I get the feeling reading our board, people feel like that's the position LSU is loaded at. And they lost a first round draft pick, yeah, but what is your take on A, the three guys coming back in Curry, Davis, Price, and Emery, and B, this sort of offseason buzz right now behind Trey Bradford, who's their freshman, their true freshman they signed, their only running back they brought in, as maybe being one of the fastest guys on the team? Boy, if you're going to lose, I can't remember a time LSU lost a running back the caliber of Edwards-Helaire, and as good as they recruit, that you come back that next year and you've got a crop like this, and none of them are draft eligible.
Yeah, the TikTok, and we'll have to post this on the Go 24/7 board right below this podcast, so people know what I'm talking about. But the TikTok you sent us in our group chat with Sonny Shipp of all the running backs that have come through LSU and tried to, you know, lead them to a national championship as of late, the Leonard Fournettes, Darius Geises, and everything, and they're all walking through the door, and then it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and the guy's like clearly walking on his knees, and he's like, "Okay, I got it." was quite,
yes,
quite funny.
All we'll 5'8" of them.
Yeah, we'll have to post that one for the board. But to your initial question, I think, like you said, this position, the running back position for LSU, is in a really, really good spot going into this year, and I think the competition, and Kevin Falk, running backs coach, has talked a lot about this. He really doesn't have to push this group of players to compete and bring it every day because they're also competitive. And Ed Ogeron has praised Chris Curry for the way he works in the weight room and in the film room and all of those things. Then you've got the guys that are a year behind him in John Emery and Ty Davis Price, and then the true freshman, Kevontre Bradford, who really comes from a program that preaches work ethic, and they always produce, you know, FBS talent in Lancaster in Texas. This is a group that you could ride the hot hand with. You don't necessarily have to have a true starter out of this group. And I think that's going to help this group, one, stay healthy during the year and not necessarily take a beating. But two, they're going to be able to mix things up. I think we're going to see some different personnel groupings. I think Scott Linehan's going to get his hands on that a little bit. Ed Ogeron's talked about the wide receiver spot, rotating some more guys in. I think you're going to see that from the running back group. And I don't have a worry about any of these guys stepping into a game and producing. Between John Emery, his explosiveness, Ty Davis Price, his combination of size and speed, Chris Curry's physicality, and Kevontre Bradford's just top-end speed, this is a group that really gives a lot of defensive coordinators some issues to prepare for, all four of them. And I know Kevontre Bradford hasn't entered a college football game yet, but running back is one of those positions where I feel like you can have sat behind a player or been a backup or be a true freshman and enter college football and produce. So I think running back is a position that I feel great about. As far as who ends up being the starter, I think it's probably going to be Chris Curry. We'll have to monitor it, of course, through fall camp and into the season, but he seems to be the one that's been talked up the most just because he emerged against Oklahoma when Clyde Edwards-Helaire was down, and then he seems like he's been the one at the most talked up, it seems like, this offseason, and he's poised to do things, big things. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. So running back, feel great about for LSU. Very similar wide receiver. No issues with this group on my end.
Yeah, and you think about when coaches lie all the time and they're like, "Oh, we don't have any starters and everyone's going to earn it in camp," and that's like never true. I'd say that's true for running back, but I don't even think it matters because I think that you call it hot hand, and it probably will be a shared room, but I think it just is determined on after a few games, and when they get going, it'll be like that 2 years ago when it was Brissett and Edwards-Helaire, and they had a couple of other options in the backfield. You just kind of feel out everybody, and you ride one or, you know, two guys maybe more than the others. And it surprises me to hear you say Curry, but also doesn't, because I think I could just as easily convince myself that most people think Emery because he was five-star number one running back and he's got this immense talent. Or I could, and my choice of, at least if I have to predict, and I don't know one from the other of who it really is going to be, but would be Davis Price, which out of the three was the guy they used the most last year. And then obviously, as you picked with Curry, when they didn't have Edwards-Helaire, that was the guy they turned to. So I don't, now with a new running backs coach and Kevin Falk, I think any of our guesses is as good as the other. And I don't think it matters at all, because I think after a few games, one of those guys is going to get hot and they'll ride him.
Yeah, and Kevin Falk, I mean, played in a backfield that saw rotation. I mean, he wasn't necessarily – he played for Super Bowl teams in the New England Patriots that really – it feels like there was kind of a different back that was next to Tom Brady for a lot of those. So he's seen that, and he sees how keeping guys fresh can really help. And while Clyde Edwards-Helaire shouldered the load last year, I agree. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case potentially this year, but we'll find out. And another spot that, like we said, we feel good about, wide receiver – you've got Jamar Chase. You've got Terrace Marshall. Now you've got a third wide receiver spot in that slot. And Jamar Chase can certainly play there a little bit too. But that's up for grabs. You've got Kayshon Boutte. You've got Trey Palmer. You've got Racy McMath. You've got, I mean, gosh, even Ed Ogeron's brought up Jontre Kirkland and Coy Moore and Alex Adams. So, I mean, it's absolutely loaded at wide receiver this year. Once again, the third wide receiver spot, I'm not too worried about. I think there's enough explosiveness at that position, and the cream will rise to the top. But you've got a veteran in Racy McMath, and you've got some young talent pushing there. I think whoever comes out on top will be in really good shape there.
Yeah, and Mickey Joseph talks up Jeray Jenkins a good bit, and did last year too. So they've got options galore. I'm with you and probably thinking that Racy is your third receiver, and he's earned it. I mean, he's a vet. He's also a beast, and he, you know, physically brings something to the table that, while Terrace Marshall's a big guy, certainly tall, and Jamar is certainly filled out, Racy's a bit of both. So I think he's that third guy. I'm super interested to see how much more other guys get involved. And we know Eric Gilbert's going to be a monster at tight end. He'll be involved in the passing game heavily. But from that group of Coy Moore and Kayshon and Trey Palmer and certainly Jeray and Jontre, some guys who are older or certainly not freshmen. That group's going to be interesting to watch. It's options galore. That probably beyond running back or maybe equal to running back guy have zero worry about what their wide receivers and tight ends will be up to this year.
And LSU's really, I think, final position battle. We're not going to talk about it because We really haven't seen him. We really don't know who could end up with this job, but backup quarterback will be interesting. Max Johnson, TJ Finley, with Peter Parrish out of the room. Whoever ends up winning that job will be critical. You're one snap away from being the starter and one snap away from the backup being the starter. So we'll see how that one rolls out, but we do want to talk a lot of defense as well, and we'll do that on the other side of this break from the Go 24/7 podcast. But first, I want to remind you guys that we're having a 50% off annual subscriptions deal right now to Go 24/7, celebrating 10 years of 24/7 sports, of being in the business. So it's a big deal. We wanted to reward some of our monthly subscribers. If you subscribe monthly, you can upgrade to an annual for 50% off. So it's really good deal on that front. So we encourage you guys to check that out, even with all the question marks around college football right now. We've had a lot of people signing up, so encourage you guys to do that. But for now, we're going to take this quick break, and we'll talk a lot of defense and our burning questions on that side of the ball after this break from the Go 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Now, we move into the defensive side of the ball, which did lose a lot of talent as well. But as we've kind of learned this offseason, as they move to the 4-3 defense, they've created some depth at some positions, but there's probably as much competition on this side of the ball as anywhere on the team, because there's really a lot of guys that have been around a while that are ready to break through. And one position that I think with the move to the 4-3 and no spring ball that we haven't seen a lot of, Shay, and we really don't know who might be where when it all comes down to it, is the linebacker room. They added Jabril Cox. They have some veterans back in that room. Ray Thornton's playing linebacker now. They moved Devonta Lee over there. They've got Phillip Webb, who was a linebacker, of course, but is really kind of playing defensive end. And then they have Micah Baskerville, Damone Clark, Antoine Sampa, and Josh White, all who have been talked up at least in that middle linebacker or outside linebacker spot. So I think linebacker is probably the most interesting position for me. There's more formal position battles where we will break down, you know, where the pecking order is, but where all those guys play in this defense is going to be really interesting to me.
Yeah, I think the same about the D-line, but I'm curious with Pelini, with Bo Pelini coming in and replacing Dave Aranda, the defense is certainly, they're moving from a base 3-4 to a 4-3, and certainly there'll be multiple, but I think we'll see them certainly being blitzing a lot more, disguising their blitzes a lot more, being a lot more of an aggressive defense than one that would be considered reactive or whatever else you kind of labeled Aranda as, who they were always very good defenses and great defenses at times. We just saw Orgeron say, I want more of a natural pass rush. And because of that, with four down linemen, it makes me wonder, yeah, sure, and we'll talk about it in a second, what all D linemen will play, but what linebackers do you like out there and where do you like them? As you noted, we know Jabril Cox is going to play. They brought him in from North Dakota State for a reason. He's been a, what, 3-year starter, 3 national championships, has produced at a high level in terms of his stat output. He can play. And you know, Damone Clark can play. And I think he, for me, Damone Clark is that next guy. If you're talking about the Devin Whites and the Patrick Queens, I'm on Damone Clark, and I think a lot of people are. He would be the popular pick to be the next great kind of LSU linebacker. But knowing that Jacoby Stevens is going to play some safety, kind of who else do you like in there? Who else is going to be on the field and where? You've seen guys like Ray Thornton playing outside linebacker before, but did they become hand-in-the-dirt guys? We know that beyond Damone Clark, there's always been Micah Baskerville. He's a guy that I bet would end up playing some after having a good amount of run on special teams. We saw who? Devonta Lee move from receiver to linebacker. They brought in Antoine Sampa and Josh White, 2 4-star signees. And Billy, you've always been high on Josh White. I have been as well. I think he's one who's physically ready to play and he's smart enough to know the calls. And that's about, you know, trust. And if you're going to play as a freshman, certainly on the defense and not special teams, trust becomes paramount. And I think a guy like that can get his head in the playbook and find his way onto the field. But for me, it'll all start and stop with what Damone Clark can do.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. And if he steps up like the coaches think he can, then you're going to see even more from Jabril Cox. I think both those guys really complement each other well in terms of what they'll be able to do in the defense, the potential of freedom that they'll have with this team on the defensive side of the ball. And it'll make Bo Pelini's job so much easier. If he has two linebackers out there that he can really trust. And look, LSU plays a lot of nickel. So I do think, you know, you might see that, you know, third linebacker come off the field at times, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But it's a situation where if you have Damone Clark and Jabril Cox as your linebackers out there that, you know, are your base linebackers and also the guys that are out there in nickel, that's pretty salty right there. And I mean, Jabril Cox has a chance to really make his way into that first round of the NFL draft. That's how highly some people think of him. And both him and Damone Clark have been really talked up all offseason. And so it is a room where I think it's a little deeper than people think. And it's kind of like the defensive end spot, which also has a lot of depth, but a lot of competition.
Yeah. What name number one? Let's say this. Give me two names that you think will be the two best players there this year.
At defensive end?
Well, on the defensive line in general.
I will go with Tyler Shelvin. I think that's a relatively safe, easy pick, especially now with Neil Farrell, our boy, I'm so paid, opting out of the season for COVID concerns. And then I'm going to go with a little bit of a stretch just because he's a true freshman, but man, he looks the part, as BJ Ojulari. I think he's going to be a star. I think he has a chance to be what Kalyvon Chaisson really could have been if he was a little bit bigger as a true freshman, or maybe even just in a 4-3 with his hand in the dirt and go get the quarterback.
So I guess my point being, when you get beyond that, and even certainly Shelvin, we know, is a starter, but then you can even you go right for a wild card. There could be a lot of wild card type players, whether you're saying Ojulari, Justin Thomas, who we've heard talked up a ton and we've seen him in spots, but Orgeron loves him. T.K. McClendon moves from a JUCO tight end to someone that they said looks like one of their better pass rushers as a D-end. Andre Anthony is a senior now. This is even more so than linebacker for me. And boy, look, shout out Jarrell Cherry's playing D-end. We know that Phillip Webb is going to play some D-end as a true freshman this year. I can't figure this group out. I know who their D-tackles are. They're Apuaika and Shelvin, and you can move Glenn Logan in there, and you've got Jacobian Guillory coming in as a true freshman, but they've got options galore at D-end, and that's great. And toss in Jaquel and Roy, toss in guys that they just signed. I can't tell you who I would bet on being the starters and being mid-season your best players. And look, a year ago, Neil Farrell, after like five or six games, was their most productive end. I think we could be in for something like that again, to where it's probably someone we're not even hinging all of our hopes on right now. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And if there's one position that's going to have enough attention and enough competition to really, again, and we kind of talked about this with the linebackers, you know, it all kind of rises to the top. And we talked about with the wide receivers and the running backs, it's defensive line. You've got Ed Ogeron, who's a defensive line guy. You've got Bill Johnson, who did a terrific job last year with that group. I thought they really emerged, I think, more than anything. I mean, to get Tyler Shelvin ready to go, to see Neil Farrell move into that really high-level contributing role. Justin Thomas, before he left the team, he was playing really well. He was in their cheetah package as a pass rusher. And then you add in Christian Locketeer working with that group as a graduate assistant too. So they have a lot of attention. They have a lot of opportunities to get better, to compete. And I think that's only going to benefit them. And look, I mean, like we said before we started getting into the defense, I think this whole group has a chance to really, really compete at a high level. You've got your go-to guys like Jacoby Stevens, like Derek Stingley, and a couple others. But there's also a ton of competition. I think the starting 11 for the defense at the beginning of the year could look very different from the end of the year. And that other cornerback spot opposite of Derek Stingley is just another example of that too.
I'm wondering if we're not currently sleeping on how good Cordell Flott is. And I think a lot of people are already high on him from playing as a true freshman a year ago, from being able to say, look, LSU's got another guy that's going to get overshadowed by Derek Stingley, who's a once-in-a-generational type defensive back and corner. But Cordell Flott came into that class in a deep corner class and really shined right away. We know Stingley is the ultimate lock to start on the defense or on the entire team. I mean, he's got a he's got his spot, and Ja'Marr Chase has got his spot pretty locked in, and Miles Brennan, guys like that. But then you look at the other spots, and I'm wondering at defensive back, with Ed Orgeron propping up Flott so much, and you saw him as a boundary corner a year ago, but Ed Orgeron even said over the summer, I could see Cordell Flott playing 60-70% of his snaps throughout a game in the nickel, and we'll see how Pelini wants to use him in the defensive backfield. But if that's the case, the door swings wide open, right, for whether it is Jay Ward, whether it's Re'Darius Jones, or do you go to a guy, Billy, like Eli Ricks, who, yes, he's a true freshman, but Flott and Stingley played as true freshmen a year ago, and LSU didn't lose a game. And I'm not saying Ricks is a Stingley or even will be as good as Flott was a year ago, but there seems to be some confidence, or at least there seems to not be a lot of hesitation at putting him out there. I won't be surprised at all if in their search to get Flott into the nickel, if it's not Stingley and Ricks playing opposite each other at corner.
Yeah, and I think Cordell Flott reminds me of Greedy Williams too, just his frame, and you know, he's kind of thin coming into college, but he just has that fearlessness, I think, and the Alabama game kind of showed it a little bit when he got in there as well. And you know, whether you put him at corner or nickel, wherever, I think he's going to play a lot. I think Eli Ricks is somebody they're going to give a lot of burn, and they're going to give him every opportunity to earn a starting job. And then will it be a Jay Ward or Re'Darius Jones, and one of those guys emerges? So I think that corner room is just such an interesting spot to be. And like we said on much of this podcast, this whole defense and there's a lot of competition everywhere on this team right now. It's going to be fun to watch. This is a fall camp that Shay, I think if we get a chance to get in there and watch it, we're going to have plenty to talk about, plenty to share, and it's going to be one of the more competitive fall camps that we've been around for.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much you're letting us in to watch, but hopefully they'll send out some video and everything else. And look, I think people could say, don't show us anything on fall camp. I don't care if that means that you kick off on September 26th or at some point this fall. And certainly we'll be tracking it. That's what we've done. We've spent our days refreshing Twitter and checking our cell phones to see both us working and everyone listening who's just a fan, trying to see what's up with the season. And we'll see how long the SEC and the Big 12 and certainly the ACC move forward with plans to play. But boy, it seems at the moment, Billy, and I'm just trying to bring the optimism to the show, that SEC, with a month and really a month and a half till they play a postponed fall season, is standing 10 toes kind of firm in the ground.
Very, very little surprise right there. I love Greg Sankey's patience and also the push from a lot of these schools to play. I've been talking about this with a lot of people. Just keep going forward, and if it ultimately falls apart, it falls apart. But see how many games you can get in, get this thing in. I think the spring season would be really tough to do on the players and all the guys who would opt out to get ready for the draft and all that stuff. Don't worry about that. Just keep pushing forward and you know, trying to get this season in. And we'll keep pushing forward. We'll keep talking about this season until they tell us not to anymore. And we're going to continue to do that on the Go 24/7 podcast, which you should listen to and you should subscribe to and you should review and rate and also submit your questions on wherever you review our podcast, and we'll get to them on a future episode. But with that, guys, we're going to wrap up this edition of the pod. Hope you guys have a great weekend. It was a newsy week around the country, and we like to put a little exclamation point on it with this edition of the pod. So hope everyone has a great weekend, and keep it locked on go247.com and the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.